All right, folks, we're back. You're listening to The Drew Marshall Show. Thanks for tuning in every Saturday, 1 to 5. It's kind of a special show today for a couple of reasons. Number one, it's our 10th anniversary special in the house with Tim the Tool and Michelle Presley here as well with us, my assistant, and Noel Clausen, who's been with us right from the get-go. Basically, if you've been to our website, you want to do a special thank you to Noel for putting all that together and having put up with me for so many years. So at this point, the next 2 hours, it's pretty much all run between you guys. What do I do?
We just had someone call.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
We have a guest?
Yes, we do, and they're online right now.
Okay. Hi, who's this?
This is Gary Berghoff. Who's this?
Hello, Gary Berghoff. How are you?
I'm just fine, thank you. How are you?
Fantastic. It is such a pleasure to chat with you. Folks, I've got to tell you the quick story of how I came about interviewing Gary Berghoff so many years ago. You know, I was trying to find his information, and I couldn't find it. And, I mean, he was just a hard guy to track down. But I found out that he did some advertising for a car dealership somewhere, and I phoned the car dealership and said, do you happen to have any contact? Well, they said, let me transfer you to so-and-so, and he's the owner of this place, and he's hardly ever in, but he's here today. Well, this gruff guy gets on the phone and says, yep. I said, hi, I'm so-and-so. I'm looking for Gary Berg. Well, hold on a second. And he flips through his Rolodex and says, here's a number. I don't know what this is, but try this number. So I phone the number thinking it's Gary's publicist or his manager or something, and all of a sudden I hear the voice of a guy I used to watch on television, Radar from MASH. And I got really nervous, and the first thing I started stumbling around going with my, words,
kind of like
I'm doing right now. and then Gary says, well, this is very nice. Thank you very much. But can I ask you a question? I said, sure. He said, how did you get my personal mobile number? And that was the beginning of an absolutely amazing conversation. Gary, I think you and I talked for about an hour that first time on the phone.
Well, I think you just talked for about an hour, right? I'm not getting any younger.
Listen, mate, let's catch up. What is going on with you? How are things?
Well, things are great. I'm retired.
Excellent.
And I'm enjoying every minute of it.
Excellent. Are you still painting and working with the animals?
I always work with nature because I just... You know, that's where real is for me. But as far as the painting or acting or anything I did before retirement, I made a promise to myself I wouldn't do it after retirement because there's so much more to learn.
Yeah.
And those things take away from that learning process. So I'm really enjoying not doing anything I did before retirement.
Fantastic. Fantastic. All right. So it does keep you busy, though.
Well, I wrote a book, To Mash and Back, about my experiences in life. It's on Amazon and other places. I enjoy tremendously my home in Connecticut during the summertime, and then I winter in Florida. I have many, many friends in both locations, and I just enjoy the social life and, most of all, the natural environment in those places that I chose during my, my working years to move to. So I'm enjoying my. Of course, I have three wonderful children, and I'm involved in their lives. I think I'm living a very rich retirement life.
Fantastic. Well, I was staying with it always sounds a little pretentious when I say this, but there's an attorney that has been quite nice to me, an entertainment attorney down in L.A., and I was staying at his place, and just down the road from his house, so maybe four houses down this little obscure laneway, is where Harry Morgan used to live. And of course, that brings to mind his passing, which I believe, was it not just pretty recently? Was it not last year?
Oh, it was, yeah. Yeah, we miss him. He was a wonderful, wonderful man, somebody who touched our lives in the years that we worked together and beyond, just a great guy.
You know, for the listeners who weren't quite sure who Harry Morgan was, Colonel Potter on MASH, and what was the other? Was it FBI? No, what was the first big show that made him into a name?
Oh, Dragnet.
Dragnet. That was right. That was right. Yeah.
Harry was a wonderful character actor in film way before that. And, I mean, he was one of the great character actors in Hollywood. A warmer man, a warmer, more genuine man you never could meet.
Well, do you remember sort of your final or your last conversation with him prior to him passing?
My last conversation with Harry was I called him one day and I said, you know, Harry, all the time that we worked together, I could never decide whether you were like a brother or a father to me. And he said, well, I hope you consider me a brother because that's the way I felt about all of you. And then the last thing he said to one of his boys when he was on his deathbed, as a matter of fact, was tell him the two things I'm most proud of was Oxbow Incident and MASH. Now, for those of you who don't know the classic film Oxbow Incident, it is like a shrine to actors. It is one of the greatest classic films ever made. I believe it was a 20th Century Fox film. If it's available, rent it or buy it. Oxbow Incident was one of the great American films, and he starred in that with Henry Fonda. But so for him to even associate MASH in the same breath with Oxbow Incident meant a great deal to us.
That's incredible. Folks, on the line with Gary Berghoff, and we're just about to say goodbye. Very, very nice of you. Thank you for connecting with us during our 10th anniversary show, Gary. Thank you. And the reason that you're on our show today is because over the 10 years, you would be one of my most favorite and most memorable interviews. I mean, we just really connected. And you know, it was supposed to be like a 20-minute interview, and good night. I think we went for an hour and a half on the air.
Well, there was many years ago, and I tire much more easily now.
Now I know.
Oh, I'm just ribbing you.
I know you're still into the theater. It's a passion of yours. Into cinema, etc. I was just down at the Toronto International Film Festival this week, and I watched a movie called Searching for Sugar Man. A brilliant documentary. Really thoroughly enjoyed it. And I also know that you and I have something in common in a little thing called You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown. I played Schroeder. Who did you play?
You did?
Yes.
Well, of course, I was the original Charlie Brown, but you played Schroeder. That's all I can say is you must have enjoyed it very much. It's such a sweet piece, isn't it, that play?
It is. It is.
I want to wish you congratulations on your 10th year, and I think it's a wonderful show. And the next time you don't have to call me at all, just tell stories about me.
All right, I will do that. I will do that. Gary, thank you very, very much. It's quite an honor for you to be part of our show today.
Oh, it's an honor to be called. Thank you very much. God bless you.
Thank you. Bye, Gary.
Bye.
Gary Berghoff on the Drew Marshall Show. Boy, that's fun. That's fun. Yeah, Noelle, do you remember when we first had Gary on the show? That was...
Oh, yeah, that was...
I was excited.
That was pretty impressive.
Yeah, quite enjoyed it. I want to play you something here that I found. I was in the Abbey at Iona, and they have a little bookshop there, which also sells alcohol. Great church. and I saw this book. This is called The New Testament in Scots. And this is, it's just very interesting. So I cracked it open. Noelle, could you just read from the start of any paragraph there? Okay, just the start of any paragraph. Ready?
I don't have to read in like an
accent. In a brogue?
Well, no. Just it's
just
spelled out phonetically. Yeah.
Okay. The law is a spiritual thing. We akin that. I am a carnal creature. Sold te slin. Sin for a slave. It's still, you would be better at it. If you did the whole accent thing.
Right, it'd be brilliant.
Because I'm not going to do the accent thing without practice here.
I'll read it, okay? Yes. Here we go. This is me reading
it. Right.
Yeah.
The kind of man sent for God, and his name was John. He come for a witness, to bear witness to the licht, that all men might win to faith through him. He wasn't of the licht himself. He come to bear witness to the licht. The true licht that enlightens elke man was in than coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world had come to be through him, but the world miskent him. He came to the place that belonged him, and them that belonged him welcomed him now. But to all such as welcomed him, he gave the poor to become children of God. Into them that puts faith in his name, and was born no of blood, or carnal desire, or the will of man, but of God. Say the Word become flesh, and made his woning among us. And we saw his glory, such glory as belongs the yea and ain Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. We had John's witness to him. "This is him," he cried out loud, "that I sparkle when I said, him that is coming after me is a higher degree nor me."
Sorry, I need to interrupt you, buddy.
Sorry.
We've got another guest that's just ran.
Sorry, you're interrupting scripture reading for
a
guest?
Well, you know, personally, I would rather listen to this person than your brogue.
Come on, I had some good Scottish brogue.
It was great.
Did you like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hi, who's this?
Chrissy.
Really? Chrissy Moran?
Yes.
Hello, Chrissy. Sorry,
hi.
My voice went really high there.
Wow. How are you?
What a lovely surprise. Oh, my goodness. Okay, so listen, I know who you are. Let me just bring everyone else up to speed. A few years ago, I found out about a girl named Chrissy Moran I know you as more than this, but I still have to use this, you know, this story that you have as sort of describing you. So anyway, Chrissy pretty much was one of the world's biggest porn stars. And then a whole bunch of circumstances came about, and she inevitably made the decision to leave the porn industry and kind of return to the faith of her youth. And then, you know, it's been a struggle over the years, but Chrissy and I have kept in touch, and what a great surprise to hear from you, Chrissy.
Thanks.
So listen, first thing I got to ask you is, when was the last time you had your nails done?
Yesterday. But actually, I have started chipping, so I have to go back and get a polish change. But yes, I got my nails done.
Wow, wow! And how has your day been today? I know you have the most stressful days, Chrissy. So, how was your day today? Did anything stressful happen today?
This is so funny that you're asking me this, because this never happens. But I just got a massage. I literally just came out and then had to call in. But I just got a like amazing massage, and I was just heading to go get my nails done. This is totally not like how my life has been.
Yeah, whatever.
But what's so funny is I'm actually moving to Houston, Texas. I recently got engaged.
Wow! Congratulations.
I'm moving there to live with my fiance's family until we get married, and then we'll live together. And so I was packing, and I found a gift certificate for a massage in Beverly Hills. So that's where I'm coming from.
That's too funny. Too funny. And don't try to kid me. I know that you like to shop. I especially know that you like to window shop. And I know that you like to take weird pictures with yourself and mannequins.
That may be true.
Chrissy and I were walking around. Where was that that we were walking around that one day?
We were in Sherman Oaks.
Okay, so Sherman Oaks, California. We were walking around. We had lunch, and then we just started walking around a window shop. And we just turned into two little children being very silly with the camera and taking weird pictures and mannequins and antique shopping and stuff. So
yeah, it was awesome.
Anyway, listen, can you give me an update? What's going on in your life? Other than engaged and married and moving to Texas or wherever the heck you're moving.
Well, I think since my other interview, a lot has happened. So I started working with a nonprofit called Treasures. And we help women who are in the sex industry. We're an outreach and support group. I actually am the host of the support group. So it's been really, really amazing to like be there during the support group and even get to share my journey with the other women and see them healing, and it's just amazing. And then I'm also a mentor through Treasures as well, and on the leadership team. And the website's iamatreasure.com. And it's been amazing. I've been doing speaking. I got to speak at one of the biggest churches, Mars Hill Church, with Pastor Mark Driscoll. That was amazing. And, yeah, just doing that. And I got engaged July 21st.
All right, so tell me about the man. Tell me about the boy.
Well, what happened is I didn't date for about 2 years.
And can I just say, hold on, because I remember that was a struggle, but that was a challenge that you put out for yourself, and you actually, you did it? You didn't date for 2 years?
Yeah, well, the first year I was kind of like going on first dates, but it wasn't going anywhere else. And so it wasn't like I had a boyfriend for the first year. And then the second year was an intentional fast from men because I was, you know, tired of being hurt and I wanted to heal from that. And I needed just to like a detox, you know? So I did.
You know, hold on. I just heard about 400,000 women say, amen, sister.
Yeah. So I didn't date. I went further than that. I didn't talk on the phone with any guys, email, you know, anything, hang out with any guys that wasn't dating. But there was only one person that I talked to during that time, and he lived in Houston, and we became friends. We have a mutual friend that lives in L.A. because he used to live here. So during that year, he was the only guy I spoke to, and he was like this amazing, godly man that everything that I had read about or watched videos about for Christian relationships, he fit perfectly. So I ended up falling for him after like 2 months of talking on the phone.
That's great. That's excellent.
We didn't even meet till 8 months later.
Excellent. What a great way for you to develop a relationship that you could trust, you know, that relationship that, you know, starts off really healthy and ends up marriage. Sorry, that made it sound like you start off healthy and then ended up married.
Well, I mean, it takes a certain level of healing when you come out of the sex industry to get to a healthy place where you're going to attract somebody that's healthy. So, so like he and I talked for 8 months before we even met, just as friends. And we didn't, you know, we started dating and then we got engaged like not long after because we knew that we were, you know, going to be together forever. So,
That's fantastic. Absolutely. Now, Tim, can you notice a difference in Chrissy? Can you hear more confidence? And
yeah, just like a calmness, a peace, like just you're centered.
Totally, totally, totally sound different, Chrissy. I'm so proud of you. Good for you.
Yeah, well, I did just get a massage, too.
Oh, yeah, there's that as well. Thanks. Hilarious. Well, listen, what a great surprise to hear from you for our 10th anniversary. And again, these are people that over the years I've just, you know, highlighted. I mean, come on. The interviews that you and I have had have just been complete highlights for me. And it's been nice to just carry on a bit of a friendship as well. So,
yeah.
Thanks, Chrissy. I really appreciate you you calling in for our 10th anniversary. Just a great surprise.
Yay. I'm glad I could call.
That's great. Thanks, Chrissy. You take care.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye. Chrissy Moran on the Drew Marshall Show. Do you remember the first time?
I do remember the first time.
You know, there were some people that gave us a little bit of grief about that. You know, why would you interview someone from the porn industry? And you have to say, well, yeah, but she's just left it. I mean, even if someone was still in the porn industry, I would interview them if they had points of view about faith and how that intersects with what they do and, you know, how do you deal with conviction. Actually, there was somebody that wrote in, or Counsel Many, that was thinking about doing, she was in the phone sex industry. Remember that?
Yeah, yep, I do.
Yeah.
And said, I've tried to get another job, but it's nothing is paying the bills, and so, you know, I feel convicted because I'm growing spiritually, but at the same time, you know?
Yeah, you got to pay the bills.
Yeah. But I got emails about that. We're not sitting here going, you know, do whatever it takes just to pay the bills, but as an empathetic person, you can hear their story and go, yeah, I understand there's a struggle here, and yet others would default so quickly to, well, just trust the Lord. Well, she did trust the Lord for years, and she went broke.
Mm. Yeah, it goes back to that thing I said earlier. You know, don't judge my sin because it's different than yours. And I think it's easy for people who don't struggle with a particular situation to judge us for it.
Yeah.
But my guess is you spin it around and maybe judge what they're going through, and it ain't so easy to just say walk away.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so. Right. Hello. Hi, who's this?
Hey there, Drew.
Hi.
Happy 10-year anniversary.
I'm trying to figure out who this is.
Well, maybe if I talk a little bit actually like I actually talk, maybe you can figure it out.
Is that Paul Young?
It is.
Yay, Paul Young. What a lovely anniversary surprise to hear from you, the author of The Shack and so much more. How you doing, man?
I am doing very, very well.
Yeah, you're a happy little Vegemite these days?
Pretty much, although, you know, Vegemite's not one of my favorite things.
No, tell me about it. It's like salty shoe polish.
It is, and I don't even know, you know, I don't think I've seen an Australian actually eat Vegemite. But
No, it's propaganda. They just talk the rest of us into it. So,
Hawaiians and poi.
We've had some great surprise guests today on our 10th anniversary show. We've had Gary Berghoff, of course, Radar from MASH. We've had Chrissy Moran, one of my favorite journey stories over the last number of years, ex-porn star. And speaking of porn stars, Paul Young joins us on the show right now. Paul, of course, wrote this book. What was it called again?
The Shed. No.
The Shed. No.
The Condo.
The Shelter.
Something like that.
Yeah, that's right. And co-authored by Mark Driscoll, of course. And, listen, so what's going on, man? Fill me in. Give everyone a little update on Paul Young.
Let's see. We've got three books coming out that I'm interested in this fall, and including the next novel, which is called Crossroads. And that's coming out in November 13th.
Fantastic. Is that starring Ralph Macchio?
Oh, not quite.
Okay.
No. And but it's another novel, and it's same genre, whatever that genre is, that The Shack is, and but it's just a broader story. It's turned out wonderfully, so I'm very excited about that.
Is there a fear of whatever you publish next having to come underneath the shadow of The Shack?
You know, I never asked for The Shack in the first place, so there's this kind of let's see what happens. You know, if I actually believe that God is involved in the details, then and this was a gift to begin with, and I can come at it fairly easily, and I did. In fact, the first manuscript wasn't due until August, and it wasn't due to come out until next spring. And when it felt like it was time to work on it, I started in January, and it was done the first draft by middle of April. So it wasn't hard. The question was, will it be like a bagpipe or not? Right.
Right.
will it be a bagpipe or a vacuum cleaner?
Right, right. Got it. All right. Would you say that the things have sufficiently sort of died down or calmed down in when it comes to The Shack?
Yes and no. The book is still just, it's doing almost as well as it's ever done, especially internationally.
Right.
And it has a life of its own. So that part of it, you know, people have gone on to other things to talk about, like the elections and things like that. But it keeps resurfacing.
Yeah.
And it continues to be part of the dialogue. I was on a flight yesterday from Boston back to Portland, and I got outed by somebody who was in the flight that recognized me. And he told one of the flight attendants, and it ended up with the flight attendant kneeling down in the aisle telling me about her dad and telling me how the book has just absolutely affected and impacted her life. And so here she is, she's saying, you know, my dad died a year ago, and it was a lot of things unreconciled, and she said, everybody in the flight industry is reading The Shack, and it just impacts me, and I had a dream. She said, I had this vivid dream where I'm at The Shack, and Jesus says, I want to take you in, and you can talk to your dad, and he doesn't know he's here yet. And she goes in, and all the elements of the sense of separation from her dad, they were just gone. And he was fully present, excited to see her. They talked. And he says, when she says, you know, I'm so glad to see you, and he says, that's why I'm here. You know, the whole thing, and she's in the aisle of this flight just bawling, talking about how the book impacted her. So, you know, when that kind of stuff happens, that's the real stuff.
Yeah.
That's the stuff that ripples out that really matters, and I'm so thrilled about.
Fantastic. All right, now listen. Has Paul Young been on any game shows lately?
No. At least not on television.
No.
You know, my kids are always getting me in stuff, but nothing like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Yeah. Now that was a funny story. Now there's always these sort of celebrities that sort of cross paths with the Shack, and you know, we've talked about Will and Jada Smith, and they enjoyed the book. Have there been any others that have sort of come along?
Oh yeah. You know, I forget after a while who's what, because
Drew Marshall's my name. I'm Drew Marshall. Nice to meet you.
Drew Marshall came along, and how can you forget him? Right?
Yeah, like a bad rash.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, and I was in Kansas City just recently, and the Royals heard that I was in town. I don't even know how that happened. And so they called me up and said, hey, would you come to batting practice? I went, well, yeah. I had starting to have this reputation that I've never gone to a major league sport where the home team didn't win. So, you know, they're trying to conscript me for NBA.
Yeah.
And, you know, the whole thing.
I think if they do like a little keychain or a little bobblehead, a little Paul Young bobblehead, that could be like a good luck charm with all these people.
Exactly. See, there's something there, Drew. I'll put you in charge of that.
Yeah, marketing right there. Now, when you said the Royals were in town, you're talking to Canadians here. We thought Kate Middleton and Prince Buddy were there.
No, this is in Kansas City.
All right.
Everybody keeps their clothes on.
So I go down there and meet Hall of Famers, and I'm down on the batting practice, and the coaching staff comes around. The coaches and the management have given away like 500-plus copies of The Shack just because of how it's influenced the conversations even within the league. So it was just very cool.
That's
so
great.
Kind of, you know, celebrity people.
Next thing you know, you'll be discussed by the Senate, you know, because the Senate down there in the United States, they like to talk about really important stuff like steroids in baseball.
Yeah, they do, you know. Anything to avoid actually doing some work, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's right. One of the funniest stories I have about Paul was I picked him up. He was up here in Ontario, and I picked him up somewhere and was taking him to my hometown area to stay at a hotel that this group had put him up at. And we had
told this story a whole bunch of times, too.
We drove through the country. It was dark. He had no idea where he was going. And all of a sudden, I turned the corner, and there is like the Norman Bates Motel. This is the most shocking, scariest looking motel you've ever seen in your life.
Is that the one on the corner of Highway 10
and the bypass?
Yeah.
Yeah, right there. Yeah, exactly.
It has a flashing neon light. It's not like it's just kind of shuttering there. It's not even working right.
Yes.
Yeah, it was just right out of the movie.
A dodgy looking place, right? So we drive into this place, and I said, "Well, we're here." And he's like, "Oh, wow, okay." And he's, you know, he's keeping it cool. And then he goes, "Well, I bet you they probably don't have Wi-Fi though, huh?" He's trying to be funny a little bit there, but he's good. And he opens up the door, and he's got a good, you know, attitude. I'm like, "Dude, I'm just kidding. You're not staying here." He goes, "Oh, thankful. Oh, I'm so thankful."
Hey. You know what? It's all inside the grace of one day. It is what it is.
Inside the grace of one day. Wow. You're like this walking bumper sticker.
Yeah.
You have these great phrases. Okay.
That's a really important one for me.
So when will the next thing be out? When can we get our hands on... why didn't you call it S2, Shack 2 or something, you know?
It's not a sequel. Or Son of Shack.
Son of Shack.
I should have written a self-help book called Steps to the Porch or something, you know?
Yes, I like that.
Yeah, yeah. So no, it's the novel will be out November 13th, and you'll hear about it. It's going to be everywhere. It's a big deal, which is kind of funny.
Who did you sign with?
Hachette. We did a one-book deal.
Okay.
And, they're the ones that took The Shack internationally, and I've had a great relationship with them throughout the entire time. So, Faith Words is their imprint, and they're doing that. And Baxter Kruger, you know Baxter, right?
Yeah.
Baxter's book, he's been on your show, of course.
Yep.
And Baxter's book comes out October 2nd, and it's called The Shack Revisited.
Okay.
And it's remarkable. It's actually a very beautiful, accessible book. It's been out in Brazil since September in Portuguese, and they've hit about 200,000 in sales down there, which is remarkable for a theology book.
Wow.
And it is. It's great. He uses the shack as a window through which to see. The byline is, there's way more going on here than you ever imagined. So that's coming out, and that's beautiful.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, listen, I hope that whatever the next book is has its own smell to it enough so that the comparison thing, because you know there's detractor, well, you know, we've talked about this, there are shack detractors. Ooh, that'd be a good chapter, shack detractors. Brought to you by John Deere. I don't know.
Sit on bump.
You know, they're going to pounce on this next thing, and they're going to go, you see, you know, it's this, or it's more this, or, you know, obviously God was just with the shack, and it wasn't with Paul, or it was just this one, you know, all this speculation and all this blah, blah, blah stuff is going to go on. And I just hope, you know, I know you enough that you're pretty stinking grounded, and it's not going to rock your socks, but, you know, it can still get weird. So what I'm trying to say is I hope it doesn't get weird.
Well, and I totally appreciate that. Hachette sent me an email after they read the first draft, and they said, "Well, you've violated the rule of publishing that your second book sucks," and which was nice.
That sounds like one of my compliments. What did I say to a girl so many years ago? Backhanded compliment number one. You know, for a fat girl, you don't sweat much.
Yeah, I remember those days.
The fat girl.
You guys dated?
Yeah, Paul and I dated. Oh, man. Listen, Paul, you know I care about you deeply, and I actually know you give a holy grunt about me as well, so thank you. I really appreciate our friendship, and what a great surprise to have you on our 10th anniversary show.
What an honor to be here. You know, Drew, you are the bomb in so many ways.
I feel like it's saying some Muslim prayers. No, is that that's inappropriate?
Well, that's
right?
Another pickup line.
It is.
Yeah. Are your parents terrorists?
I'm in Germany, and my publisher in Germany comes up, and we're traveling by train, and he says, "Well, Paul, we might have a slight problem. The train might be a little delayed. They found bombs along the track."
Wow.
You know, not big bombs like atomic bombs, just
little ones.
Unfriendly devices.
Unfriendly devices. Unfriendly explosive devices. Yes, we know.
Oh, we were laughing so hard. They said they're not trying to kill anybody, just to stop the train.
Oh, well, that's nice. That's awfully kind of them. That's gentle bombing, brought to you by Hallmark.
Exactly.
All right, Paul, listen, great to chat, buddy.
Proud of you. Love you.
Take care, man. Tim. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, Paul Young. Paul Young. That's nice.
Do you want to hear my pickup line or not?
Oh, yeah. What was it?
It was, are your parents terrorists?
No.
Because you'd a bomb.
Really?
Yeah.
That was it?
I tried that once.
Yeah. It blew up in your face?
Yes, it did.
All right.
She counted to three and just exploded.
Yeah, nice. Oh, we're ringing somebody.
I'm trying something here.
Yeah, we might get a hold of somebody. One ringy dingy. Who said that?
Lily Tomlin.
Nice. What was the show?
Was it Laughing? No.
Very good.
Was it Rona Martin?
Yeah. Rona Martin's Laughing.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good. I was just about to say I have no idea who this is, but I actually do.
Oh, I think you do.
Hello, Dad.
How are you, Drew?
I'm great.
Congratulations on the 10th.
Thank you very much. Can you imagine me doing 10 years of anything?
No. But it went quite quickly.
It did go quite quickly. What a what a nice thing to hear you on our show today.
Well, I've been listening, and I kind of had a little notion that, you know, you were going to come on.
Yeah.
And I'm just turning the radio off now.
Well, thank you.
So we're not getting... Yeah, I think one of your gals gave us a little heads up the other day.
Good, good. Yeah, my staff have been surprising me with phone calls.
Yeah, well, she said, be in between 2 and 5 and we'll see what happens.
Excellent. That's great. That's great. Well, I share this joke off. Well, it's not really a joke, but I share this off with my listeners. I honestly do think that the only person out there that listens to my show is my dad. That's why people say, oh, do you get nervous doing it with all those listeners? Do you get nervous? No.
No, of course you don't. And I listen, well, I listen to you, of course I do, but not entirely.
Right.
And then when you get... and your raisings and your life over the funeral home, and you mention it quite a bit, and then the Australian scenario, it's quite interesting.
Well, Dad was, this is my father, Grant Marshall, on the phone with us, and...
Saint Grant.
Saint Grant, that's right. And do you guys remember the Christmas party this year? This past year.
Yes.
Yeah.
Where Grant Marshall took it over.
Yes.
Do you remember how hilarious that was?
You were gobsmacked. It was awesome. Yeah. You're just like, dang.
I've never seen my dad control a room like that in my life.
No, wait a minute.
And stole the show. Unbelievable.
Oh, well, that was a good night at Teen Ranch for sure.
It was. It was.
Did we have mead that night too?
No, and no mead that night. No, that's right. Now, Dad, you're heading up to the cottage later today, are you?
Yes, we are. Okay, yeah. Good. We're heading up later this afternoon. And
Good.
We'll probably see you there tomorrow.
Dad was a guest on our show a number of years ago, actually. I was looking. I was reminiscing. This might have been back in 03 or 04. And I brought my dad in to talk about and take calls about the funeral industry, because my dad's been a funeral director for how many years now?
Well, forever, since I was 19.
So for 20 years.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, quite a while in the town of Richmond Hill. Of course, I grew up in the family business, so I was part of it. My first chore was to pick up Kleenexes after funerals. My second chore was to pick up rose petals and move flowers around. And then I started rolling caskets around. And Dad and I, when we were younger, we used to play hide-and-go-seek in the casket room, in the showroom.
Really?
In the dark.
Nice.
And I would always know where Dad was because he had one of those watches that glowed in the dark.
I just couldn't fool Drew.
You still hoped it was a watch.
Yeah, that's right. Just kind of floating around.
Elvis, is that you?
Yeah, that's right. And it was actually, I do remember you, Dad, coming into the studio here, and this was one of the very few times that I've ever seen you nervous.
Well, I was, I wanted to have some facts ready for the listeners,
mm-hmm.
because you don't want to, and I'm not sure about that.
That's what we do.
Yeah, well, and we had some calls, of course, about funeral things and things pertaining to it, and burials and cremations and all that things.
Wow. Well,
so it went quite well. I was pleased to be part of it.
And I got to say, and this is a little personal, but I'll share it as gently as possible. A poignant moment for me in my life was when you said, you know, there are things that your parents say to you over your lifetime that goes right in one ear and out the other. But this one time a few years ago, you just mentioned to me how proud you were of me, you know, with the success of the show and everything else. And boy, that really stood out for me. I really appreciate your support, Dad.
Well, you've done it all on your own, Drew. I think you really came to the fore after you came home from Australia.
Yeah.
Those 5 years, and you mentioned it a lot on your show, with you and Bev and Josh and Jessica, and of course we were down to visit you. And by the time you came home, you had what you were going to do, and that's part of the celebration today.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's been amazing to have your support, you know. And I mean, all the way back to you. This is a bit mushier as well, but. I mean, I wouldn't be where I am today had you and Mom not decided to adopt me.
We were fortunate all around. You came to us when you were 10 days old and whatever in the end of November of 66. And here we are 45 years later.
That was good math. Well done.
Yeah.
Very quick.
Whatever.
Whatever.
Well, anyway, congratulations, Drew. You're a wonderful son, and... we'll reminisce about this, you know, in a day or two.
We sure will. We'll see each other up at the cottage. Now, I just got back from UK. I was in Scotland and England, and you were over there as well. You were in Ireland.
Yes, we were. We just came back 2 weeks ago. We were at County Donegal. Donegal is way over on the Atlantic side. We flew into Belfast and then got a car, and of course it's on the wrong side, and... And there was a gear shift, and Mary Lou was not too happy, but anyway.
It's a real test of a marriage, whether you can make it through that sort of a thing.
Well, it is. Yeah. The car rental piece person said, no, you have to protect the navigator, and that turned out to be me.
Nice. And did you visit any of the Marshall homestead? Because our family came from Ireland, I think, around the 1850s and landed in the Dufferin County, Orangeville area. But did you go to any of the homestead stuff?
Oh, yes, of course we did. We know the grave of our great-grandfather's brothers, your great-greats. And they're in Omagh, County Tyrone. And on the Saturday, we traveled to Omagh. We were getting kind of filled up with gas. There was two cars because our host had the car. And an Irish fella, he's filling up with gas too. And he said, oh, yeah, well, it's which one do you want? And I said, well, it's four lights here and four lights there. Hey, just a second here. Get in the car. I'll just take you. So real Irish hospitality.
Yeah.
And he pulls up at the cemetery gates, and we drive in, and, of course, the graves are just inside on the left-hand side, so we stood at the Marshall Cemetery plot.
See, everywhere the Marshalls go, we try to find the cemeteries, mm-hmm. Yeah, the funeral plot. Well,
so we know exactly where we came from, and you fit in there as well.
Yeah.
And, so the next generations are coming along.
Good stuff. Well, listen, Dad, love you very much, and thank
you
for being part of our 10th anniversary show today.
I'm glad you thought of me, and I'm glad to have said a word of congratulations, and let's go for another 10.
Well, we'll see about that.
All right.
Thanks, Dad.
All the best.
Okay, you take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Grant Marshall on the Drew Marshall Show.